TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 6, Episode 3. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various communities of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, and I have the pleasure of introducing today's conversation. Today, Katie Rinaldo joins us on the podcast to share about her work as a training and consultation specialist, as well as her journey to TBRI. Katie is also the host of our Spanish podcast, El Podcast TBRI en Español. This episode is part of our mini-series with the members of our team who train during TBRI practitioner training sessions and also travel globally to teach, learn from, and support organizations who are implementing TBRI on a systemic level. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our host, Sarah Mercado and Katie Rinaldo.
Hey, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah. Good to hear you and see you.
How's
thanks
it going?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's thanks for being great. Here. Good. You want to just, for our listeners, introduce yourself and kind of tell us primary geographic regions you serve for the Institute and what that looks like?
Yeah, so my name's Katie, and I have been at the Institute for a couple years now. I actually live in East Tennessee and work remotely, and I speak fluent Spanish. I've lived in Latin America, so I support the work that's happening in Spanish-speaking countries in Latin America and Spain, as well as I work with some of the countries the states in the Southeast United States. So North and South Carolina, Alabama, Florida. So some of the work that's happening down here in the South.
Awesome. How did you get to know TBRI?
So like I mentioned, I lived in South America. I lived in Paraguay, and I was teaching English at the school on the campus of a children's home. I was also director of the children's home for a little while. And we were just having a lot of unexplained behaviors, meltdowns with our teenagers and with our kids. And we didn't know what to do. And so we started looking for what's going on behind this. Our strategies that we have aren't working. And my one of my co-directors of the children's home, her name's Jackie, she actually found the connected child and started implementing it and introduced me to TBRI through that. And it's been a part of my daily life and language ever since.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that whole story, just bits and pieces of it. So when you came to know TBRI, was it natural to you? My experience was not natural at all. I'm still working on it. So is it natural to you or did it require some practice?
I think some aspects of it were natural to me. I had already had a master's in holistic child development. And so some of the like therapeutic aspects of what's going on, what is the trauma caused, those concepts were not foreign to me. But in terms of my natural like response to getting frustrated with kids' behaviors, or when I would go to my downstairs brain, I was definitely not doing, I have some great examples of when I was not doing TBRI. I remember teaching my preschoolers when I was a preschool teacher, obey right away without arguing, like was one of our like life value terms back then, before I knew what that meant. And I look back now and I'm like, they were three, like they needed to learn to use their voice. So there were some things that were not, I was definitely following some patterns from my childhood that I've had to work on.
Obey right away without arguing. I love that. That's fun. I mean, I don't love it for kids, but it's just fun to hear what people, like where we all came from, because, yes. You know, I had a lot of chaos in the way I worked with kids. So it's, that's actually very low level in some ways, but it's just funny to hear some of the things that come in. Do you have a favorite principle in TBRI, one that's easiest for you or that you kind of cling to?
I think my favorite thing to teach that seems to be such a light bulb for people is teaching about attachment, the attachment cycle. Mm-hmm. I love to get a whiteboard and like teach the you know, how powerful yeses are and how integral to development that first year of life and that bond with the caregivers really is in a child's future self-worth and their trust and their self-efficacy. And it just makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And the light bulb, I just love seeing the light bulb go off. And it is such a good guide for everything else with TBRI. So that's my favorite part of that connecting principles in teaching the attachment cycle.
I gotcha. And in practice, do you have a favorite principle? So when you're working with kids directly or adults, I guess.
I would say, so with kids, littler kids, my favorite is choices, two good choices.
Mm-hmm.
I love being creative and coming up with two good choices. I find that really fun. And the whole like making a negotiation with them. With older kids, though, it's playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced that the most important thing with teenagers is to stay playful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the hardest for me. It's my favorite, but it's also the one I'm worst at.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I understand. So I think it's interesting with the choices, because you said that's like fun and creative for you, that I literally have to practice in my head coming up with two good choices before a situation ever arises, because yeah. I immediately go to like, you can do this or like lose your phone, right? Like,
right.
Like my choices become like a manipulation to get what I want them to do.
Yeah.
Done. And so I like that that's a strength of yours and that you like to be creative with it, because that is not mine at all. So you said that the easiest for you is choices. And then with teenagers, I like the deviation of the playfulness. What's hardest for you within the strategies?
I think the hardest thing for me is to, in the moment, to figure out how to have a balance of structure and nurture.
Are you more structure or more nurture?
I think naturally I used to go more to structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been so trying so hard to go towards nurture and connection that I think sometimes I don't know how to do structure the right way. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I can be high structure in the ways that you're talking about, like, you can do this or you can lose your phone. Like when I get dysregulated with, like, especially with a kid that I'm closer with, I have an easier mm-hmm. time when I'm further away from the situation.
Right.
But if it's a kid that I've known since they were real young and I've been with, and then I'm just like, you're better than this. You should be, you know, I just immediately go to that, like, pull yourself together. And then I'm not doing structure in the way that is nurturing. And so I think that's how to do a nurturing structure sometimes is requires so much upstairs brain that getting myself regulated to do it and see clearly is the hardest for me in those moments.
Yeah. I resonate with that because I'm super good at structure. Like, you know, that's probably why I like favor the empowering principles, because it's pretty structured and it's just something you can do and almost check the list, right? Like I gave them the snacks, I set up the environment, focused on sleep. Like
it is list based.
Yeah. So like the connecting.
That's a timer.
Yeah. Set it. Like we're good.
Yeah.
But the, you know, connecting is much harder for me, which would be more of the nurture side. So I found when I first started doing TBRI that I swung so far to the nurture that I lost all the structure.
Yes.
And then it was like, my kids were looking at me like, who are you? Like, we don't even.
Who's in charge here?
Yeah. It became like way more chaotic than it ever was before,
uh-huh.
Which helped, you know, my naysayer brain to be like, I don't know if this is going to work or not.
Yeah.
But it did. Would you be willing to share a time that, in working with kids or working in, you know, maybe the center where you work, you know, when you needed a redo? Sometimes the adults need the redos.
Yes, sure. I have one particular moment that sticks in my mind. And I hadn't actually been, I wasn't a practitioner yet. So I hadn't quite made the full, like, the transition to doing this all day, every day. But we had a little boy who liked to run away, and happened many times. Actually, I could tell you 4 or 5 stories about this particular child, but we had him. He was on top of closets. He walked all the way to the supermarket one time. This kid was just very traumatized, and that was his coping skill, was running away. And he was 4, and so that was not good. And I just remember one time he was running away from his house parents, and they came down to my house to ask me for help. And I'm supposed to be like the calm TBRI like expert here. And I remember running outside the door and just screaming his name at him as he's like running towards the woods. And I'm like, well, that wasn't TBRI. And also, how is that going to help anything? Like, I'm just screaming at him. Like, it's just putting it more in his downstairs brain. But I really did not have a clue because it was a safety issue at that point, right? Because he's running away from us. I just didn't know what to do to keep him safe. And I couldn't run fast enough to catch him, you know? So it was just like, we're at a level 4, but I couldn't even get to him to de-escalate him. And so Jackie, the lady, the one I mentioned before, she and her husband like came out and made it a calm environment. And he eventually came back and she gave him, you know, like, she modeled the correct way, and I kind of got to see a redo, even if I wasn't the one doing it. And they got him to come back and sit on the edge of the sidewalk and calm down. But I just remember being like, wow, that was a terrible example. And TBRI just screaming at him across the.
It happens. I don't know. I think I get TBRIs. I mean, I get redos every single day. So
yes, I have plenty of stories.
Yeah, it's just reality. What about the opposite? What is the time when you saw TBRI work and it kind of shocked you or the people around you? They're like, oh, this thing actually works.
Yeah. So I had a teenager that I was working with a year or two ago that was really having a meltdown. She'd been through a lot and was having she was really actually trying to connect with her caregivers. And, was just in a lot of emotional pain and kind of broke down in front of them and in front of me, and was just at a really dark place. And the caregiver, the mom, kind of was sitting there watching me interact with her, and I was doing the healthy touch and rubbing her back and using my calm voice and giving choices. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to sit here? Do you want to go over here and talk privately? You know, and so just trying to calm her and guide her and using my levels of response. And I wasn't sure it was going to work. I thought she might be too dysregulated. Mm-hmm. But I just like trusted my TBRI, you know, the skills that I have and developed, and was able to get her to a regulated place where she could express what she needed. And we were able to come with a compromise that would, you know, going forward, that the caregivers would be able to do with her. And the mom just came to me afterwards and was like, wow, it was amazing to see you do that with her, because I wouldn't have thought that would have worked. I couldn't believe she let you rub her back. I couldn't believe she let you close to her. But all of the, you know, investment of connection that we had done really came in handy in that moment. And it was surprising to all of us that we were able to keep the train moving.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool when you see it in action and it does work. I mean, I can remember the first few times when I was like, oh my gosh, that actually worked. Like, that must have been a fluke. Let's try that again. Right. Like, and it just kept working and it kept getting better. And so part of that was that I kept growing and I kept getting better. But, you know, it is interesting because the principles and strategies do stand on their own. If you could tell your younger self that was just learning TBRI one thing, what would you tell them?
I'm thinking back to my younger self at the children's home. I think actually, if I could go back and tell her one thing, it would be, you have got to take care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. I did not know how dysregulated I was on a daily basis in that where I was at the time. It took me years to realize how badly my nervous system was functioning,
mm-hmm.
and how I was totally unable to help the kids because I wasn't taking care of myself. I was completely not self-aware at all. Mm-hmm. I was so out of my body, unaware of my own state whatsoever.
Right.
I just was in full dismissive, full martyrdom mode, maybe is a good way. Like just serve.
Yep.
And so I would go back and say, like, you have got to put your mask on first.
Yeah.
And have some boundaries for yourself. And just be in your body. That's one of the things I've learned the most in the past few years is how to be present in my own body and how to actually regulate.
Yeah.
And actually be in touch with my own nervous system. And that's not that I would have listened to myself back then, but that's what I'd tell her.
It's real hard. It's hard when we're 20 something and know everything.
Yes, exactly.
That's why we have to go back and tell our younger selves things.
Yes.
But that's a good point. Like, I think that that's probably even a developmental thing to come closer and closer into connection with your own body and understanding your own dysregulation. And at that younger age, like that was probably even physically challenging, let alone mentally to be that self-aware. So yeah, that's really good. Hey, would you tell us a little bit about the Spanish podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on the second season of the podcast. We started it about, I think it was in March of last year, if I remember correctly. And the first couple episodes are kind of like the first episodes of this podcast where we go through the main, trauma in the brain and attachment. And then we talk about connecting, empowering, and correcting. And the first season, Andrea Leon and I, Andrea from Colombia, she's one of our partners down there. She did it with me. And then the second season I've been doing with David Randall, who's with AGCI.
Cool.
And we're going through topics. So this season we're talking about nurture groups is one topic, attachment, going deeper into the styles. We talked about how no one's perfect. David did. If you speak Spanish, you should definitely go listen to Nobody's Perfect. That David Randall told his story about his childhood. Just incredible. We have so many amazing practitioners doing work in Latin America, and they're sharing their stories and their experience on the podcast, and it's so cool. We're going to do one on TBRI and teenagers here pretty soon because that's been a huge need. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to respond to the needs of that network and kind of provide content that they can listen to and share on their, you know, WhatsApp or their different messaging channels. And it's been so fun. It's been amazing to just get to listen to their stories.
Yeah, it's so fun, right? Like I this is like my favorite thing because I just get to talk to the coolest people all the time. I don't know if that's how you feel too, but
yeah, after each one, I'm like, I could just do this all day. Let's go. Give me another person.
I know, so same. Where do we find it?
We're on Spotify and YouTube.
Okay.
And so you can just search El Podcast de BRI en Español, and it'll come up. And it's green, not purple. So if you're looking for the purple color, you won't see it. It's green. So YouTube channel, the KPICD YouTube channel, and then Spotify.
Okay. And is it linked on our website? We'll link it, or we'll put it in the show notes, a link
to it. It is. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. Okay. I have some rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep. I'm ready.
Favorite food?
I have to say cheese, specifically cheesecake, but really any cheese at all.
I mean, really, like, if you want to improve cheese, just add sugar. So.
Yes.
And do you have a favorite, like, besides cheesecake, do you have a favorite kind of cheese?
The sharper, the better, honestly. Oh. Like, mostly, like, the sharpest cheddar that you can find, that's what I go towards.
Okay, so I think of some of the cheeses, I call them stinky feet cheeses, because they smell so bad. And I
Not quite that bad. Probably not the stinking, not the ones that stink.
Okay, you don't like those. Okay. Coffee or tea?
I wish I could say coffee, but my body hates caffeine. So I like chai tea. That's about the most caffeine I can handle. And I love my chai tea lattes with oat milk.
Okay. Chai tea, coffee with oat milk. oat milk. Oatmeal. Yeah. That would be really
with oatmeal.
No. walk-up song or theme song?
My favorite song for many years now has been Moving Forward by, it's on the playlist, which I got from practitioner training.
Okay.
The son of Stephen Curtis Chapman, his group. And I have to, look what their name is, but Moving Forward. I just love it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, people can find the playlist, the TBRI practitioner playlist in Spotify. So
yeah, it's like one of the, like the second one on there. Love it.
Okay. Cool.
Colony House.
Okay. Favorite vacation spot?
The beach. Any beach. Always the beach. I love the beach. I love the sand. I love the ocean. I love the waves. I love laying on the beach. I love the sun and the warmth and the heat. That's my, if I could get away with never visiting anywhere else, it would always be the beach. But alas, others in my life like to travel other places.
Okay.
My home base is the beach.
Beach. Okay. Favorite sports team? Do you follow sports?
I understand sports. I don't follow sports, but I did just watch the Ted Lasso final episode at midnight last night.
Okay, don't tell me. I haven't watched it yet.
I won't say anything about it, but I'll say that I am a AFC Richmond fan.
Okay. Well, that's by far and above the best answer we've received yet, because
there you go.
AFC Richmond is everything.
It is.
Favorite hobby?
I love kayaking and ice skating for some reason. Oh. And I've also discovered as of our last practitioner training that I love electric scooters.
Yes, that was super fun.
That was the best.
So did you ice skate as a kid?
Yes. Well, I guess our homeschool group, one of the things we did on a regular basis was we went ice skating a couple times a year. And for some reason, one of the few coordinated things I'm able to do is ice skate. And so I find it really fun because I can actually do it. I can't rollerblade very well. Well, rollerblade, I could probably do. Roller skate, I can't stay upright. I'm very uncoordinated in any other sport related anything. But I can kayak, I can ice skate, and I can kill anybody at a foosball game. and I can ride an electric scooter. So.
Okay. Mr. Gravity gets me when I'm on ice and skates. So
I think if you didn't do it when you were really young, it's really hard to learn. Yeah. That's what I've...
I don't want to do that, but I do love kayaking and I love to fish while I'm kayaking. That's really fun too. But that does take some coordination because there's a lot going on. But
yeah, I was gonna say, I gotta keep the kayak upright. I don't think I can fish too. I have a kid's kayak because I'm like below the limit for the weight limit. And so I have, because then I can lift it. I can't lift a normal size kayak.
Yeah.
I have my little kayak that I take out every, you know, during the summer, like every other weekend. And
that's fun. That's fun. I love that. Well, Katie, thanks for being on the podcast. I wish I could be on yours, but I don't think I would be very helpful to you. But thanks for being here. We'd have to have a translator. But thanks for being here and sharing your fun and your wisdom. We've had a great time.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. Appreciate it.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.